So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I proposed many names to Sayyidina Umar. I said, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And these were giants. These were stalwarts. These were legends. These were luminaries. These were people who were great. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, he declined, he excused. Then he said, oh, Ibn Abbas, because they enjoyed a very good relation. He said, oh, Ibn Abbas, do you know what type of attributes I'm looking for and what it takes to lead? I said, please tell me. He said, لا يصلح لهذا الأمر. None is deserving for authority but the person who can embody the following attributes. قوي من غير عنف. لين من غير ضعف. جواد من غير صرف. ممسك من غير بخل. Wow. You got to engrave this in gold. He said, it takes a man who is strong but not harsh. A person who is gentle but not weak. A person who spends but not extravagant. And a person who withholds but is not a miser. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine the depth if each government was legislated by these golden principles? Can you imagine what this world would have been? It would have been a different place altogether. Be it as it may, that is the third fitna. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we don't appoint power to any person who seeks it. We don't appoint power to a person who seeks it. And if a person doesn't request it, and he doesn't hint it, and he doesn't campaign for it, and then it comes to him, then that is a position granted to him by Allah. Then that is a position granted. But that's the third fitna that would plague the ummah. And then comes the fourth fitna. And what is that? Khurujul insan. Man will leave his human instinct. The kind of things that people will do, the kind of habits and traits that would become common, would not be in harmony with human nature and temperament. And today this is widespread. You can see and apply your mind and you know precisely what I'm talking about. And I don't have to go into any graphic details. Where humans would lose their instinct. They would lose. A lion will not eat, but it won't settle for, it will die, but it won't settle for grass. It's carnivores by nature. It needs flesh. If it doesn't get flesh, it won't settle for grass. It will not forsake its instinct. It will opt for death. But today the human has lost his instinct, has lost everything, has lost his direction, his morality, his focus, his understanding. وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةٌ كَالتُّوفَانَاتِ وَالْوَبَاءِ وَالنَّارِ الْمُنْتَشِرَةِ وَالْخَسَفِ وَالْقَذْفِ. Then will come tragedies in succession, one after the other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborated and elucidated and expounded by that amazing prophetic parable when he said, كَنِضَامٍ قُتِعَ سِلْكُهُ فَتَتَابَعَ. Just like when the twine is broken and the beads fall in succession, in the very same way, natural disasters and catastrophes will rock the planet one after the other with the same speed and succession. And today, unfortunately, we see it happening. Before we recover from one, whether it's a volcanic eruption, whether it is a whirlwind, whether it is a storm, whether it's a flood, may Allah protect one and all. But surely we see this happening constantly. We see this happening constantly. I'm just going briefly because obviously time is running out. وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةُ نَزْعُ الْأَمَانَ عَنْ سُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ. Another fitna that would happen is that trust would leave the ummah. People will no longer honor their words. The hadith is in Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, trustworthiness and honesty will become so rare and extinct, حَتَّى يُقَالْ أَنَّ فِي بَنِي فُلَانٍ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا, that people will travel the length and the breadth of the continent to meet a man purely because he's honest. Listen, brother, I've traveled all the way to come and greet you. I've heard a lot that you're an honest man. It would become so rare that honesty will stand out. Like when a person has a miracle, or he has some charisma, or he has some skill, or he has some art, Then he mobilizes people. He attracts people. People come. He's got a magic. His prayers are answered. His supplications are answered. Or he's got the skill in him. People will travel to Hatta Yuqal. It would be said, Annafi, you're going to this country. You must meet this man. Why? He's an honest man. He's an honest man. And Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu said, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I could deal with any person. If he was a Muslim, his faith wouldn't allow him to speak a lie. And if he was a disbeliever, society wouldn't allow him to lie. Just the environment was too clean. There was no place for liars in the community. Today, it is a reverse thing. There's no more place for honest people. There's no more place for honest people. They say the difference between the truth and a lie, that the lie is like a painkiller. Momentarily, it takes the pain away. And it takes the pressure away from you. But ultimately, painkillers, the side effects will eat up into your kidneys. While surgery will give you pain for the day, but ultimately you will recover from that condition. Utter the truth at any cost. Speak the truth. Honesty, unfortunately, has become absent. We know the incident, and briefly I'll run you through it. It's in Bidaya wa Nihaya, Ibn Kathir has mentioned it, that Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, when he left Makkah, he was intercepted by Abu Jahl at that time. And Abu Jahl intercepted him and his son Yaman radiallahu anhuma, and he said, we're not going to release you, because if we release you, you're going to go to Medina and you will join the ranks of the Muslims. And then when you join the ranks of the Muslims, you will become reinforcement for them against us. So by us releasing you, we are literally fueling our opponent against us. So it doesn't make sense. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, no, please release us and we won't join the ranks of the Muslims. So Abu Jahl then conditionally released Huzaifa and his son and his father Yaman radiallahu anhuma. As they leave Makkah and they get to Medina, it coincides with the exit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's marching towards Badr. And he meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, oh Prophet of Allah, where are you going? We're off to Badr. Can we join you? Yes, please join us. We are short and we are few in number. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعْ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah paints the picture in the 9 Juz in Surah Anfal in great detail. So the Prophet said, join us. As he joins, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, can I just bounce off something off you? Like, go for it. When we left Makkah, we were intercepted by Abu Jahl. And then he wouldn't release us. And we negotiated our release. And conditional to the fact that we don't join your expedition, he released us. But we agreed purely to appease him. Can we join you? The Prophet of Allah said, no, as much as we need numbers, we are a nation that will honor our word, whether we make it to friend or foe. We are a nation that will honor our word, whether we make it to friend or foe. Abu Jahl had left no stone unturned in persecuting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the extent that the Prophet of Allah was in sajda. And Abu Jahl said to him, have I not warned you that you must not prostrate? You know, one brother told me, he says, Sheikh, some people have prostate cancer and many Muslims have prostrate cancer. May Allah save us from both. Prostate cancer men have, and many Muslims have prostrate cancer, where we don't bow and prostrate to Allah. I told you not to prostrate. Arrogant, obstinate, harsh, abrupt, hostile. What an audacity to tell the Prophet of Allah. And he says, the next time you prostrate, لَأَطَأَنَّ عَلَىٰ رَقَبَتِهِ, I would trample him with my foot. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into sajda. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّأَهُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجَعَى. The Quran speaks about an amazing principle here. Although the context of the ayah is Abu Jahl. Have you seen man, whenever he comes in the position of power, he becomes arrogant. There are very few people that can sit on the seat of power and remain humble. There are very, very few people. You can count them on your fingers. When they sit, you look at the political parties pre-elections and post-election. Pre-election is a begging bowl, is a humble approach, is a gentle approach. Post-election, talk to you after 5 years. Who cares? Sayyidina Luqman said to his son, إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَى ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Oh my son, when your power, your position, your authority incites you, provokes you to exploit, to abuse, to be harsh, then remind yourself that Allah has much more power over you than you have over your employee. So then Abu Jahl comes close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as he comes close, suddenly he withdraws. So someone asked him, "What happened? What happened?" He said, "Baini wa bainahu khandaqan min nar." As I approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to attack him, to assault him, I found a trench of fire. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Law dana minni lakhtatafathu al-mala'ikatu 'udwan 'udwa." If he had to inch any closer, the angels would have separated his entire anatomy. The angels would have dissected him. So he was a hostile individual. But we are a principled nation. Regardless of his hostility, oh Huzaifa, we need numbers. We are only 313. And look at the amazing thing. When the Prophet ﷺ and Sayyidina Ali and Abu Lubaba were alternating on one conveyance, so they said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, please you ride, we'll tag along, we'll walk along." And it's time to now for them to dismount and to alight and for the Prophet of Allah to get onto the conveyance. So they said, "Please, O Prophet of Allah, you ride and we'll walk." Subhanallah, what was the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, "Ma antuma bi aqwa minni." Number one, you are not stronger than me. And number two, I am not less in need of reward than you are. Allahu Akbar. The greatest of Allah's creation, I need reward. And if you think you are strong, I'm stronger. So we learn a lot of messages from this year. In the end, Huzaifa and his dad, Yaman radiallahu anhuma, were not given the consent to participate purely to honor the agreement that they made. وَمِنْهَا نَزْعُ الْأَمَانَةِ. Let us ask ourselves, how much do we trust and how much do we honor the word? We move on. The next fitna that would grab the ummah is التعمق في متشابهات القرآن. التعمق في متشابهات القرآن. Where people will try to unpick and unpack the ambiguities of the Quran. So there are certain verses in the Quran that are clear cut. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. And Allah has revealed certain verses and they are clear cut. They are explicit. They are clear in their meaning. And they make the mother of the book, the basis of the book, the foundation of the Quran. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. And surely there are certain verses that are complex and that are ambiguous and cannot be easily understood. And it acquires and requires detailed understanding. And yet after applying your mind diligently for years, there are certain things that are still not known to anyone because Allah did not reveal its meaning to anyone. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. Those people in whose hearts there is crookedness and deviation, they will persist behind the complexity and the ambiguities of the Quran. Whereas وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله, the true meaning of those verses are known to none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So another sign of Qiyamah is that people with little or no knowledge will try and unpack and go into the depth, and surely the consequences, the repercussion of that can be nothing but catastrophic. It would destroy their iman and it would create doubt in their minds because they don't have that knowledge and understanding. May Allah protect us. The next fitna that would happen, وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةُ سَبِّ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. Then will come a fitna where people will pride themselves by speaking ill of the pious predecessors. So just speak ill. Who was this scholar? Who was this imam? Who was this jurist? A layman in the 21st century would basic to no knowledge, would stand up and make pronouncements and statements against the great, great jurists of this ummah. And this is obviously very, very serious. So it doesn't just happen. And what's the today that the mentality is, you just retort, you just speak out, you just back answer initially to your parent and then to your mentor and then to your senior, and Allah forbid, it just goes beyond and beyond, and lo and behold, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةَ أَوَّلَهَا, that people will also start finding fault with the Sahaba. May Allah protect us. And unfortunately today this has become common, where we just throw out, our tongues are just loose, we just hurl, we just make anything, and we don't realize how great these people were and what was the knowledge that they carried. وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَةُ ذُهُورِ الْقَدْرِيَّةِ. Then will come a fitna in which people will deny the article of fate and destiny. So what is taqdeer? There's nothing like taqdeer. No. Apply your mind and its cause and effect, and that's the ultimate. And I must sound a word of caution. Islam is a very pragmatic religion. Islam is an absolute balance. Islam is very user-friendly. So when we believe in the article of fate and destiny, we do not advocate a life of carelessness. Do whatever you want to, what is decreed for you will happen. No. That is taking the wrong end of the stick. Islam says, adopt all precautions and do whatever is supposed to be done. But after taking all the precautions, you cannot guarantee the results. You cannot guarantee the results. So you could be driving slow, you could be a law-abiding citizen, you could strap up, you could belt up, you could be on the side of the road with a car that's absolutely in order, but that doesn't guarantee your protection. If something happens beyond, at that point, you then surrender to destiny and fate. Somebody came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, faith and destiny is a very, very intricate article of faith. Its intricacy cannot be comprehended by the mortal. Why? Because it's the wisdom of Allah. And how can we ever understand the wisdom of Allah? So he said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, أخبرني عن القدر. Tell me about fate and destiny. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, هو طريق مظلم لا تسلكه. It is a dark road. Don't walk on it. You're going to get confused. If you're going to say, why did Allah do this for that man? And why did Allah give this one? And Allah didn't give that. And this happened in my life and that happened. I cannot make sense of this puzzle of life. But how come? But why? Listen, don't walk that road. It's a dark road. There is a narration in Tabarani. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates it. He directs it to the messenger. The messenger directs it to Allah, which is Haditha Qudsi. Allah says, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-ghina walau afqartuhu laafsadahu thalik. Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-faqr walau aghnaytuhu laafsadahu thalik. Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-sihha walau asqamtuhu laafsadahu thalik. There are some of my servants, Allah says, perpetual sickness will only keep them worshipping me. If I cure them as they implore me, they will forsake me. Yet there are some of my other servants, only perpetual health will keep them worshipping me. If I subject them to pain, they will forsake me. Yet there are some of my servants, only wealth will keep them worshipping me. If I make them taste the difficulty of poverty and penury, they will abandon. And that would be to their detriment, not to my detriment. And yet there are some of my servants, only poverty will keep them worshipping me. If I open the doors of affluence upon them, they will forsake me. Inni udabbiru amra ibadi bi'ilmi bima fi qulubihim. I regulate the matters of my bondsmen and my creation with my might, which is power, and my knowledge, which is infinite. Inni alimun. I have the all power and the all knowledge, and hence accordingly I decree and I decide. So Allah's knowledge is complete. There would be those people that would come in this world that will deny the article of fate. They will deny taqdeer. In fact, people go for therapy, people go for counseling, people go for so many things when they go through a depression or they go through some tragedy in their life. Taqdeer, it helps us move on in our life. Taqdeer helps you to bring closure. Look at this principle. It's in the hadith of Muslim Sharif. And I've shared it with many people and I've had a lot of positive feedback. And it's the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And credit to his noble teachings. It is his flawless, his pure, his pristine, his impeccable teachings. Where am I and what am I? I'm an absolute nothing. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that take all the precautions in life. And if something unpleasant happens, لا تقل لو فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. Wow, that's a prophetic formula. That after something unpleasant has happened, a deal went sour, a tragedy happened, whatever occurred, then omit the word if from your vocabulary. If doesn't feature now. If we drove slow, if we didn't do this, if I didn't enter into the deal, if I didn't get married, if I didn't go on that road, if I did, no. Because as long as you're going to entertain the word if, you're going to relive the entire trauma and psychologically you're going to try and avert it and revive the dead man. So the Prophet of Allah in a prophetic way, and that is why one scholar said a beautiful thing. He said, when we look at the lives of the noble companions and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they lived and exhibited psychology. Psychology was not in a book. Psychology was not in a course. Psychology was not in a workshop. But they lived psychology. Today you go for sessions, but there's no psychology in our life. We go for all this counseling. It's all in theory. It's all in words. It's all in textbooks. But we don't deliver on it. We don't walk the talk. So it wasn't a science that was formulated. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived it. His psychology was amazing. He said, when you visit someone who's terminally ill, then say kind words to him. Say kind words to him. Why? Because your kind words won't prolong his life, but it will add value to the remaining days of his life. Wow. Wow. That is our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا وَيَطِيبُ بِهِ نَفْسًا. That is last words. Oh, the scholar came, this brother came. He said, I'm looking good, I'm looking bright, I'll be fine. So his life is not going to be longer. They say, worrying about tomorrow will not avert the problem of tomorrow, but will deny you the joy of today. When you say, what's going to happen to my children in the future and this and that, it's not going to change tomorrow. But what it's going to do is, it's going to take the pleasure away of the meal that is before you. On these notes, we conclude. There's much more detail to the fitna, but time has lapsed. And really speaking, we say this so that we can become conscious. Like I said, when there's a virus or there's a bug or there's a bacteria, then there's so much campaigning about it. People are alerted, people are conscientized, there's campaigns around it, protect yourself, do the necessary measures. In the very same way, there are a host of fitnas that have plagued the ummah. I leave you with this hadith and it makes my hair stand. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, immorality, promiscuity, infidelity will become so common that a man would pray, not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y, on an innocent woman in open public. He would fall upon her and he would want to satisfy himself. It would be done in broad daylight. Nobody would have the courage to tell the person, listen, this is immoral, this is obscene, this is not decent, this is not good, you know, etiquettes. Somebody will muster the courage to go up to him and say, لو نحيتها عن الطريق قليلا. Listen, brother, it's your life. I don't want to infringe or encroach into your personal arena. But if I may ask you, can you please step aside and do what you want to on that side and not where people are walking and there's elderly and there's children and, you know, it's a greater society. Can you show some respect and just move on the side and do what you want to? And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the man who will muster the courage to do that, he will be the Abu Bakr of that day. فَذَاكَ فِيهِمْ مِثْلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. The narration is in Hakim. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to protect us, protect our families, protect our children, and protect the entire ummah. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ